I think if you're on the sidelines a little bit, it's a good time to refresh your strategy. Think about in this environment how you want to approach things. You can focus on your portfolios. M&A's got two sides, right? There are buyers and there are sellers. So if you have something in your portfolio, you may look to maximize your operations, streamline things, look at your tenant portfolio. IT is a spot where traditionally real estate companies have been a little behind the curve. And so that might be an opportunity to upgrade from a technology perspective and get better data to position yourself for sale.
Hello, and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. My guest today is Jonathan Keith, Managing Director with a Risk and Financial Advisory Practice at Deloitte, where he's also the real estate sector leader in the M&A group. Jonathan is here to cover some of the highlights of Deloitte's 2024 commercial real estate M&A outlook. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So Jonathan, in the latest Deloitte report, you say that 2024 is shaping up to be a transition year. What do you mean by that exactly?
We certainly have seen slower activity really from 22 to 23, and it really from a real estate M&A activity dropped after Q2 of 22. It's been slow, both in terms of value and volume across that time period. We were expecting in 24 a ramp up in M&A activity, as we would expect interest rates to sort of be dialed down. Now, that forecast is being delayed a bit because, as you may know, at the meeting last week, the Fed decided to hold the interest rate steady. So it doesn't anticipate cutting interest rates for a while until it's more confident around the inflation picture. Those higher rates may impact and extend the lower transaction volumes versus where we were Q3 22 levels.
Great. And during the past year, we've seen M&A deals in the self-storage, healthcare, retail and lodging sectors, among others. What does this tell you about the state of the commercial real estate industry?
When I think about the M&A or the commercial real estate M&A landscape, it's really very sector specific. So you have some stronger sectors versus weaker sectors. I think when you look at something like retail, vacancy data is very good. Vacancies at U.S. shopping centers fell to just above 5% in the fourth quarter of 22, and that's the lowest level for a long time. So that seems to be in a healthy place. On the flip side, obviously, commercial real estate from an office perspective is soft. I think we're getting a sense of the new normal around returning to work. I don't think I'll talk specifically about New York, but a lot of people in New York are generally on a 2 to 3 day a week type back to work cadence, and therefore you have softness in commercial real estate, and you see it in the data. You had high point vacancies at the end of 23, and it continues to tick up. So I think we're almost at 20% in Q1 of 24. So that is a high water mark and not a healthy one on the commercial side. And then across some of the other industries, I think they're a little healthier from things like industrials or lodging.
NAREIT's REIT Week Investor Conference, the largest REIT dedicated investor conference in the commercial real estate industry, is taking place June 4th to the 6th in New York City. You'll get a chance to hear individual company presentations directly from REIT management teams and opportunities to request one-on-one meetings with more than 100 REITs. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just dipping your toes into the world of REITs, REIT Week offers a unique platform to gain insights, make connections, and stay ahead of market trends. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with REIT executives from all 14 sectors and discover investment opportunities. Register today for NAREIT's REIT Week Investor Conference by going to go.reit.com/REIT Week RR to learn more. Jonathan, going forward, which sectors do you think are most likely to see transaction activity?
Well, we've seen on the industrial side, as I said, we've seen that to be a strong sector. I think data centers are a very attractive investment vehicle. We just saw Vantage get a large influx of capital from both Silver Lake and Digital Bridge. So that's a very healthy market. When we think about the housing sector, generally, the need for housing and the household needs and demand are not keeping pace with the supply. It's part of that has to do with just the construction costs. So there are attractive opportunities around multifamily investments. And we've seen Blackstone Real Estate make two moves there. They bought Tricon, which is a Canadian real estate company. We also saw them purchase AIR, which is apartment income. Both of those have multifamily assets, so you can see that be an area where there's a lot of activity.
And the report also references $929 billion in commercial mortgages coming due this year. What challenges and opportunities does that present?
Well, certainly, if you're holding that debt, that's a challenge, right? That's probably fairly straightforward. I do think it's not necessarily Armageddon, if you will. I think there's in a lot of the sectors that we talked about. So I think you can get debt financing and refinancing in a lot of the real estate sectors we talked about, whether that be industrial, whether it be hospitality, healthcare, and multifamily. I think that includes private debt. I think the one place where it'd be tough to get debt financing is the aforementioned office space, where there's just an overhang and there's just significant vacancy rates. And there is some thought in terms of, if you hold those assets, is there ability to repurpose those, right? So you hold the actual real estate, can you take an office building and repurpose it to service another sector? That theory is good. I think in an inflationary market, that's tough. Construction costs are high. Material costs are high. It's happening, but at a slower pace because of those factors. Certain buildings are just very structured for an office, if you will, and make it challenging to repurpose. But I don't think this is going to be a big Armageddon type event when this stuff comes due.
Great. And we're also seeing private equity firms with plenty of funds to allocate. What options do you think will be on the table as they consider how and where to deploy those resources?
I think you have options around different types of vehicles, if you will, right? So you could, we just talked about the commercial mortgages coming due. Is there opportunity to invest there? We've talked about the Blackstone deals. So if you're interested in the multifamily market, that's an opportunity. There is a bit of constraint, as we talked about earlier, around interest rates. So I think the thought was interest rates were going to come down. There seems to be a delay on that based on inflationary factors. And as you may know, your private equity model relies significantly on leverage, right? A large part of their investment thesis is putting in some equity, but levering up the assets that they're buying. And so that may have some constraints. So you have to be a little bit more creative and maybe in the type of vehicles you invest in.
And Jonathan, what advice are you giving to clients that might want to be involved in deal opportunities this year?
Yeah, I think if you're on the sidelines a little bit, it's a good time to refresh your strategy. Think about in this environment how you want to approach things. You can focus on your portfolios. M&A has got two sides, right? There are buyers and there are sellers. So if you have something in your portfolio, you may look to maximize your operations, streamline things, look at your tenant portfolio. IT is a spot where traditionally real estate companies have been a little behind the curve. And so that might be an opportunity to upgrade from a technology perspective and get better data to position yourself for sale. Clearly, there's opportunities around distressed assets, particularly on the commercial real estate side. Those are opportunities to keep an eye out for. And I do think there's value out in the market around the different sectors we've talked about. And just be aware and ready to, as you execute your strategy, to capitalize on those.
Great. And finally, Jonathan, are there any other aspects of the 2024 M&A outlook that we haven't touched on yet?
I think one emerging area is around ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance. There are emerging legislation and regulatory requirements in that area. That's very geographically specific, right? Depending upon where you are, whether you're in New York, California, or other places globally, the level of regulation and the laws may vary, but understanding those, starting to embrace those is important. That will be a change. There'll be compliance requirements. There may be disclosure requirements that companies in the real estate sector need to be prepared for. That applies just broadly, but also in the context of M&A. If you're buying something, you want to be aware of those factors. You want to be aware, what are my compliance obligations and what will they be going forward? What will the cost of those be? And then do I have the data to meet whatever disclosure requirements I might need to make on a prospective basis? So I think that would be the thing I would point at outside of just the normal business trends to think about.
Thanks so much for sharing your time with us today.
Absolutely. Great to speak to you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.